I was talking to a man a few months ago, and he brought up a point about our celebration of the feast of Christ the King. And this man was like, why do we call it the feast of Christ the King? Why is Jesus called the King? Isn't a king someone who uses violence, domination, corruption, and whatever means possible in order to achieve his goal? I think when we hear the word king, it does have a bad ring to it. Because after all, our country was born out of a great revolution fighting against the king. And so every time we hear of someone who has a form of kingliness or who acts like a king, we tend to get nervous and we begin to cringe. And yet we call Jesus the King. So it raises the question, is this title the same title as the political title of king? We're going to find out in a short while. But first, have you ever noticed that when someone in your own experience, in your own life, tries to control you or to dominate you or to basically have power over your life, whether it's your spouse, your ex-spouse, your parents, or your children, you tend to get resentful and you begin to form a wall. I think deep within our heart, we don't want to be controlled, manipulated, or overpowered by another person. And it's a typical human reaction when we get resentful when another person tries to do that in our life. But it raises the question, is Jesus the King trying to manipulate us? Is he trying to control and dominate our life? The simple answer is absolutely not. You see, the world sees kingship and greatness in terms of power, prestige, domination, position, and status. In the world that we live in, if you can demand service from others, it's considered successful. You're considered as a person who's arrived. In a culture where it's a me-first mentality, the idea of being a servant in service is not very popular. And so you lay this background in the biblical understanding of who Jesus is. When you go all the way back to 2,000 years ago, right, even the apostles did not understand this understanding of service. There were some apostles that were discussing amongst themselves who were the most important best friends of Jesus Christ, right? And you fast forward to 2,000 years later, Christian leaders and volunteers, both within and outside the church, are always trying to get the most important position. But Jesus' position is absolutely different. A few months ago, I was talking to a young lady, and she was like, I left the church, or I hadn't been in church since I made my first communion. And then finally, one day, I was in church, and I was so moved that I decided to come back. And she said, I got so excited that I decided to volunteer and get involved in ministry. And then she paused, and she looked very sad. And then she said, but the ministers that I met at my church were very territorial. They were more concerned about protecting their ministries, and it seemed as though no one really cared about doing God's will. And as she said this, there was a teardrop in her eye. Her comment made me think of our celebration of the Feast of Christ the King. Because thousands of books have been written about greatness, about kingship, and about power, but very few books have been written about service and being a servant, right? Everyone wants to be generals. No one wants to be a private. Even in our own universal church, leaders are called servant leaders as opposed to just plain servants. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and the biblical understanding of the word king, this is found in the life of none other than Jesus himself. Jesus came as a servant. Jesus measures your greatness based on service, not status. So God measures how great of a person you are based on the number of people that you serve as opposed to the number of people that serve you. So it shouldn't be a surprise that in today's gospel, when Jesus, when the judgment day comes, he separates the sheep from the goats and he says to the righteous, come and inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you. For I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the righteous asked, when did we do this? And he said, whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did for me. In other words, it's what we do to other people that we do to Jesus Christ. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. And when we are formed aright, we think as God does. We see through the eyes of God. And so our actions are based on the purposes of God. Love, compassion, forgiveness, and understanding. But when sin enters, then we become, if you will, bad rulers. We begin to see with selfishness, bias, prejudice, and discrimination. And it is for that reason that Jesus, when he separated the goats, he said, depart from me, you accursed, for I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was in prison, and you did not come to visit me. Each one of you is created for service, not for self-centeredness. You were created to have a servant heart. And having a servant heart doesn't require for you to be a doctor or a scientist. All that is required is humility and surrender to God. Even if you see someone crossing the street and if they fell, God wants you to help that person and not have the attitude, that's not my problem, I have other things to do. When you examine the history of our church, and going back to that comment about why Jesus Christ is king, from the beginning of time, God wanted to put a king, a viceroy, a representative of God on earth. It all started with Adam, right? When Adam was moving about according to God's plan, things were going well. But when sin entered and he was duped by the serpent, then the world turned upside down. It became bad kingship and bad leadership. And the nation became bad as well. And that's what happens to all of us. And so in contrast, you put Jesus Christ as king. 2,000 years ago, the king was Caesar Augustus. He was the emperor of the entire world, but he was juxtaposed with Jesus Christ. Caesar used violence, corruption, and whatever means possible in order to dominate every single person. And at about the same time, a little baby was born, helpless in a manger, and Caesar trembled in fear. This baby was helpless, and yet he had armies and soldiers to protect him. See, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not through dominance and manipulation. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords through his humility, surrender, and his radical obedience to God. And so as we think about this celebration of Christ the King, it's a reminder to us that real servants are always ready to serve. Real servants are always looking for opportunities to help another person. They are like a soldier, always on standby for duty.
Will you let me be your servant? Let me to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. I will hold the Christ light for you. In the night time of your fear, I will hold my hands out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together.
When you look around you, with your family, your coworkers, around the world, so many people are suffering and they're longing to experience Christ. We need to be servants to each other. It brings us full circle to our celebration of Christ the King. See, Jesus is King, not in the political sense. Our Savior is King in the biblical sense because He specialized in menial tasks that every person wanted to avoid. He washed people's feet. He spent time with sinners, with prostitutes and tax collectors. He invited the outcast to be brought back into God's family. And most importantly, He spent time with lepers. I believe in my heart that Jesus wants nothing less from us, His disciples. And my dear holy friends of St. James, this is the meaning of our celebration. This is the reason why Christ is called the King, because He became the perfect God-man to rule our lives and to direct our lives because of service and surrender. May you never be afraid to surrender your life to God. May you never turn away another person who might need your helping hand. And may you always take advantage of opportunities to help another person be closer to God. Amen.